Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Josh Reich. Real excited to be here with you today. I am the Southeast Campus Pastor for Pantano Christian Church. And if you weren't here back in September, Glenn and I were up here on stage together, and we shared just this vision of Pantano as they're gonna be multiplying and becoming one church in multiple locations. And so the first campus was the online campus. And so if you're watching today, we're excited to have you with us. And the next one is gonna be the Southeast Campus, which is 8 miles south on Houghton Road, down at Empire High School. And so we're already meeting there. In fact, Glenn is there today, kicking off this series. And so I'm just excited to be here with you. And so if you have questions about that, or maybe you live in the Vail, Rita Ranch area, or you live in Southeast or Southwest, and you wanna be part of just this next launch, I'll be at Starting Point after today's service and would love to be able to meet you. But as we get started today, and we start our brand new series called How Could We Not, I want you to go back to elementary school. And for some of you, you'll have to go way, 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 way back in your memory banks to remember elementary school. But elementary school, at least for me, for almost everybody, is filled with some good moments with many, many more awkward moments that shape us in many ways. But for me in second grade, I was one of those students that I'd rather be out at recess or playing sports after school than actually sitting in a class reading and learning. And I remember in second grade, my parents came home from a parent-teacher conference and they said, Josh, all your teachers say the same thing. You have a ton of potential, but you're not applying yourself. Now, as a second grader, I had no idea what that meant. All I knew was it sounded bad. And so I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, it just means you're not trying very hard. It just means that, you know, you're not doing all that you could. And I went into school then, and the teacher said, you know, because you're starting to fall behind, so we're gonna put you in the slower classes. Now, in my elementary school, this was called the resource room. Now, no one that I wanted to hang out with as a second grader was in the resource room. Now, when I got there, I found a lot of kids just like me. A lot of kids who didn't apply themselves, some who had just difficulties reading, weren't excited about school. But slowly, I started to hear this message in second grade that I wasn't smart enough. A few years later, I was with my uncle in the car, and we were driving together. Now, my uncle was one of those guys who was highly successful, made a ton of money, graduated top of his class from college, went on these great vacations, had this enormous house. And so, as an elementary school kid, he was one of those guys that I wanted to be like. I wanted so badly for him to look at me, to see value in me. And so we're driving in his car one day and we're sitting in a traffic jam at this construction site. And slowly we get up to the guys that are turning the signs. Okay? You know the guys that turn the stop, go, slow signs? And it's just me and my uncle and we're sitting there and he goes, Josh, see that guy with the sign? And I said, yeah. He goes, that's the job you get with your grades. And I remember sitting there and feeling crushed. Feeling crushed by his words. Now, come to find out, as I got older, not only do those men and women work really hard, but a lot of them make really good money. Right? But that message never left my heart. I carried that message all through middle school, all through high school, all the way into my guidance counselor's office my junior year when I went in to talk to him about just colleges I wanted to go to, majors, you know, the best colleges for me to apply to. And he looked at me and he said, Josh, you're not college material. He said, instead, what you should do is maybe you should go to a tech school. Maybe you just need to work when you graduate high school. Just go get a job. Maybe just do something that you get to do with your hands. Now, here's the thing. If you came to our house, went into our garage, and opened up our tool chest and toolbox, here's what you would find. You would find a whole bunch of tools like everybody else has, but they all have a pink handle. Because my wife fixes everything that breaks in our house. (Laughter) In fact, one of my favorite memories is our washer broke right after we got married. And she said, you know, if we're going to pay somebody, she's like, I'm just going to go take it apart. So she went out to the garage and took it apart. I brought her snacks to keep her fueled. But I remember walking out of his office at 16, and I thought, no one thinks I'm smart enough. No one thinks I can reach the goals that I have for my life. See, and the reality is that everybody here today, there's a message that you got somewhere along the way. And it's a message that has reverberated around your head and heart for possibly decades. I remember standing with a guy at his dad's funeral. And we're standing next to the graveside, and it's just me and him, and everybody had left, and he said, in between tears, he said, all I've ever wanted was for my dad to tell me, I'm proud of you. And he said, that'll never happen now. See, and all of us have messages. Your message might be that growing up you heard, you're just not beautiful. You're not athletic enough. We don't do that in this family. Men don't do that. Maybe for you, you watched people break promises and walk out of your life. And you heard, I just don't want to be with you. But these messages matter. And they carry power in our lives. Just like the power of positive words as well, of a coach saying, I knew you could do it. Of a parent saying, I knew you had it in you. But we carry these messages. And don't miss this. Words are powerful in our lives. Words carry incredible meanings. They have the power to lift us up and to tear us down. In fact, some of you, there is a dream that you had in your heart that you gave up because somebody told you it wasn't possible. And you walked away. And you've wondered, did I miss out? Because words are powerful. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words have the power of life and death. See, and you have had words spoken over you that have brought life to you. You have had people say, I'm so proud of you. I'm there for you. You can count on me. And then you've had other people say, you're not college material. You can't do it. No one in our family goes to college. No one in our family does this. See, one of the things that I've learned about the power of words is that our words to other people and the words to us have the power to mark us. They leave a mark on us. They leave sometimes scars. They create identities. I spent my entire life with the identity of I can't make it. I'm not smart enough. All my cousins went to college on full rides. Academically, my sister in high school, when I graduated with a 2.6 GPA, she graduated with a 4.235 something or other, which I think that's just smart people's way of getting further ahead. I told her, did you make up those numbers on your GPA? But words mark us. See, and here's one of the things that we do about words is we'll try to explain them away. Have you ever heard somebody say, or you've said to somebody, oh, I didn't mean it that way? Well, you know what I really meant to say, I can't help it that you heard that. Or we'll deflect and we'll say, that's just not a big deal. I remember talking to a counselor one time and just sharing with him some of the messages that I had internalized. And he said, Josh, always pay attention to what you deflect. He said, so if you say that's just not a big deal, pay attention to that. What things in your life, what messages, what words have been said to you that you've said that's just not a big deal? Or I'll just get over it. Where have you deflected in your life? Because what do we say? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? That's a lie. That's a lie. And you and I have carried those words that we said would never hurt us. See, as we're starting this series called How Could We Not, we're looking at this idea. For many of us, when it comes to words, we think, I've been so hurt by words, how could I not hurt somebody else with my words? If you're married, you've had this happen in your relationship where your spouse has said something to you and you go, well, if you're gonna speak to me like that, how could I not speak to you like that? In our broader family relationships or at work, we say, if my boss is gonna speak to me like that, how could I not speak to them like that? Growing up, you hear a message and somebody says, you're not this, you're not that, and you think, how could I not speak that? But what we wanna do is turn that question on its head to say, what if there is a message that God has said about us and to us, and then how could we not speak words of life to other people? And so in this series, we're looking at this idea of generosity. Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, I did not want to come to church on the week that they talked about money. But that's not today, and they didn't send me to do that. But we're here to talk about words, because here's the thing about words. When we think about generosity, generosity is so much more than money and finances. It has to do with our time, it has to do with our energy, it has to do with our talents and the gifts that we have and how we use them. But we don't often think about being generous with our words. But think about it, your words don't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to bring life to somebody. But it also doesn't cost you anything to bring death with your words to somebody. And so here's where we're headed today, is that if you're taking notes, you can write this down, that we are to be generous with our words because they give life. That we are to be generous with our words because they give life. But what words give life? So to see that, I wanna ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. It's on page 800, the Bible's there in your seats. And if you're joining us online, the online host will give you a link for where we're gonna be at today. But we're gonna look at just four simple verses in Ephesians chapter 4 that show us the kind of words that bring life and the kind of words that bring death. And so this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now, I grew up going to church, and so anytime I would hear this verse preached on where it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth," what they would always say was, "This is the verse that says you're not supposed to swear and cuss and say things negative like that." But that was it then. But there is so much more to this verse besides whether or not you should swear or cuss. That falls into this category, but the word unwholesome actually means this idea like rotten fruit or rotten food. Now, we have five kids, and one of our kids has this highly sensitive nose. And every time he gets cereal in the morning, he'll always smell the milk. And then, because he's uncertain, he'll have someone else smell the milk to make sure it's okay. No matter what the date on the milk says. Now, as a dad, when you're trying to just get five kids to get breakfast and get out the door, sometimes it will go like this. Well, he'll be like, "Hey, Dad, does this smell okay?" And I was maybe 2 or 3 feet, and I'm just like, "Yeah, it's fine." So then he starts to pour it, and you hear this clump, clump. Now, not my best moment as a dad. A lot of confidence was lost for that kid that he'll be in counseling for one day. But when Paul says rotten food and sour, unwholesome talk is the idea of like putting curdled milk and cereal in your mouth. That's the power of words. that it turns our stomach. And Paul says that not only are we to have no unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, but what? Only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. See, here's what we do, is we go, well, you know, I just need, Josh, I just gotta get this off my chest. I gotta tell him. Or, you know, I spoke the truth. Josh, there's a verse that says speak the truth in love. Really quietly. It's in there though. But I spoke the truth to him, Josh, and they needed to hear it. Have you ever noticed that the words that bring death and the negative words that we speak, they're more of a benefit to the person who speaks them than the person who hears them? But what does Paul say? Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. See, don't miss this. When you and I speak, it's not just the other person who hears it, but it's the people around us who hear it. Let me give you an example. So, dads, okay? You're a dad. The way that you speak to your wife, do you know what you're doing? If you have kids, you're teaching your daughter how men speak to women, okay? If you have sons, you're teaching your sons, this is how you speak to a woman. They're hearing. It's not just you talking to your wife. They're listening. And I can tell you from 10 years of doing student ministries, you can watch the messages that a daughter heard from her father. Because they're listening. When you go into work tomorrow, it's not just the person in the cubicle next to you that's going to hear your tirade, but everybody will hear it. Okay? Because they're all listening. And Paul says that it should be a benefit to them. But how do you know? Maybe you're sitting here and you think, okay, I get that. No unwholesome talk. I don't want, you know, curdled milk coming out of my mouth, you know, I get it. Okay, that's disgusting, Josh. Like, I get it. But is there a list? There is. Look at verse 31. There is a list. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And so he gives us a list of words that bring death, that crush our spirits, that bring us into this place where God doesn't want us to be. And he says words that come from bitterness and rage and anger. Bitterness is when we internalize something from our past and we bring it into our present and future. It's when we say, well, this person, you know, hurt me and this person broke a promise to me, so now I'm not gonna be able to trust this person. And we make somebody that we're in a relationship right now pay for something that somebody else did. That's bitterness. That's when we hold on to something. It's when you find yourself just overreacting to something, okay? So one of our favorite stories that to make this point, so when Katie and I were engaged, we were super young. We were 20 and 22 when we got married. When people come to us at that age and they're like, we wanna get married, and we're like, you're so young, like, you know. But so we're engaged, and I had, I came over with a friend of mine, and we were about maybe 2 weeks away from our wedding. And she's rolling silverware. We did the cheapest, most possible way to get married, okay? So we're rolling our own silverware, we made our own food. And she's rolling silverware, and she said, Josh, do you want to come and help me roll silverware? Okay, now I've been married for 17 years now. I know that that's a trick question. Okay, I know now. I know the trap that was set. Right? So I said, no, I don't really feel like rolling silverware with you. Don't get mad. You would all the men, you have this story, men, okay? She burst into tears. My friend is standing there and he's like, I'm never getting married. So come to find out, as her and I are debriefing about this, this was her way of putting herself out there to saying, do you want to be with me? And when I said, I don't want to roll silverware, she heard, I don't want to be with you. See, but we all have that message. We all have that message that plays in our heads. Like when somebody walks out of the room, we hear, "I'm walking away from you." And so for Katie and I, what we put into place was we put in kind of these different rules to keep us from moving into bitterness, rage, and anger. So for example, one of the rules that we have in our communication and in our family is that in an argument and in a disagreement, you never walk out of the room. Because walking out of the room is a power move to stonewall the other person. It's a way of saying, "I'm gonna control this situation and you don't get to be in control of it." But do you know what else stonewalling does? Stonewalling protects me from having to be vulnerable and enter into a difficult discussion. And so we keep rage and anger, and we'll slam cupboards, pots, right? And then someone's like, "Hey, what's wrong?" We're like, "Nothing. Poof. I'm just cleaning up." Poof. Right? Or as this bitterness and slander begins to build up and this malice begins to build up, we'll get sarcastic. And this is where we'll say to people, "Well, I'm just kidding." Anytime you have to say, "I'm just kidding," after something, there's a little bit of truth in it. There's a little bit of truth in it. And here's what you're thinking. "Man, Josh, you're taking all the fun out of it. Like, sarcasm is my love language." Right? Do you know what I've never heard, though? I've never heard anybody say, "Receiving sarcasm is my love language." Never heard anybody say that. I've never heard, "Man, you know, I just, when my spouse is sarcastic." Never. But what is malice? Malice is intentionally hurting someone with our words. Do you know who we intentionally hurt with our words? Only the people closest to us. Do you know why? Because you know how to do it. You know exactly what button to push in the people closest to you. Your boss, you know exactly what button to push. If you're married, you for sure know which button to push. Students, you know all your parents' buttons and ones they don't even know they have. But you know. If your kids are married, maybe you're the in-laws, you might know which buttons to push on your son-in-law or daughter-in-law. See, malice only shows up in our closest relationships. And Paul says to let go, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. So if malice means hurting someone intentionally with our words and we're to get rid of every form of it, what words do we get to intentionally hurt somebody with? None. But what do you do with anger? See, the reality is that all of these words, they come from our hearts. Jesus said that all of our words come from the overflow of our hearts. And so maybe when you begin to feel rage and anger kind of building up, and especially if you're a guy, for most men in our culture, rage and anger is our only like emotion that's allowed to be felt. And so when you begin to feel that rising up in you before it comes out of your mouth, maybe you just need to stop and say, let's just take a break. Maybe if you're in that moment where it's 2 a.m. and you've been having that fight with your spouse, you just need to pull back and just say, "You know what? Let me just deal with the anger and bitterness that I have, and let's pick this up tomorrow. Because I need to deal with what's in my heart before it comes out in this relationship." Maybe you need to type that email and just hit delete. Because here's the thing, and you need to hear this. In our culture, in our social media culture, everything that we think, we don't have to say. "Yeah, but Josh, I really want to." Is it a benefit to those listening? But what words bring life? How do we find that? Look at verse 32. Paul tells us, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." Now, here's the difficulty with phrases like "to one another." Because when Paul uses a phrase like "to one another," what he is saying is Everybody fits in one another. So he says, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are to be kind and compassionate. Your words are to be ones that are sympathetic and empathetic and bring life. They bring relief to people. Like imagine this idea of bringing relief, having just this water after this long hike. Right, I was at a friend's house this summer, and it was probably like, it felt like it was 137 degrees outside. And I jumped in his pool, and I thought, ugh, it's heated. That didn't bring life. I wanted it to be cold. I wanted relief. Your words to the people around you, to the people closest to you, do they bring life? Are they cold water on a hot day? Do they bring relief to them? Do they think, I'm so glad that you spoke that over me? Or do they think, you're like a heated pool on July 4th? See, let's be honest, because we're in church, so we'll be honest together. Sometimes my words to the people closest to me who I love the most, they're a jacuzzi in their life. See, from the time I was 16, I tried to prove everybody wrong about the message I heard. I wanted to prove my teachers wrong, my guidance counselor, my uncle. And so when I graduated from college, I went right into grad school, got my master's degree. And when I graduated, I had a 3.8 GPA. And at our graduation, I said to my wife, I was like, so I want to take a copy of my diploma and my transcripts, and I want to send it to my uncle and my guidance counselor. And she said, you can't do that. And I said, I want to do that. She said, you can't do that. So I didn't do that, because I was learning. But then immediately I went from grad school right into my doctorate degree. Because you know why? Because if you're college material, you can for sure get your master's degree and your doctorate. Because I wanted to show them, man, I was college material. And so as we moved out here to start our church 13 years ago, I'm in the middle of my doctorate degree, and we have three kids under 3 and a half, and we're starting a church. And my wife and I, we went to a conference. And at that conference, we saw my mentor and advisor from college who I hadn't seen in years. And he had actually performed our wedding. And we went out to dinner together the one night, and he said, as we're catching up, and he said, hey, so tell me about your doctorate degree. So I started to tell him about it, and he's like, well, tell me why you're doing it. And I said, well, you know, I said, it's gonna help me have more opportunities. I might be able to teach. I might be able to write. I'm gonna be climbing things and, you know, going all these places. It's gonna be amazing. He's like, no, I got that. He's like, I have two doctorate degrees. He's like, so I understand. And he said, he said, but tell me why you're doing it. And I just sat there. And I said, I'm doing it because I want my uncle to know I'm not stupid. And I want my guidance counselor to know that he was wrong. Now, I'll be honest, in that moment, sitting in that Orange County restaurant, I felt this big. I was embarrassed that it was the first time I ever said it out loud. The funny thing is that Katie already knew it. She already knew why I was going for my doctorate degree. She knew the real reasons, even though I never verbalized it. And we just sat there for a minute. And Doc, we called him Doc. He looked me right in the eye and he goes, Josh, he goes, you're a great leader. He goes, you're a great man. You're a great husband, a great father. You're a great pastor. He said, I'm proud of you. And I just sat there. And when we left the restaurant and we flew back home, the following week I had to fly to Philadelphia for another class. And when I flew back, Katie picked me up at the airport and we were driving home, and she was driving and I was telling her about it. And I said, you know, I said, I'm not going back to school. Now I'm 80% of the way through. I had two classes to go in the paper. And so she pulled over. And she goes, what do you mean you're not going back? And I said, I'm not going back. I said, I don't care If my uncle and my guidance counselor and anybody else who didn't think I was smart enough, I just don't care if they think I am. And she goes, well, what changed? And I said, because someone said, who I respected, said I could do it and said they were proud of me. She said, I've been telling you that for years. I said, I know. But I'm stubborn and I just needed a different voice. But that's the power of words. That's the power of words. And I don't know how I would have responded to that if Katie hadn't been telling me all these years that I could do something. I don't know. But make no mistake that our words are powerful to other people. And also, our words are powerful to ourselves. Okay? The messages that we allow in, the things we say to ourselves, the things we believe about ourselves, they matter. And that's why we're to be generous with our words, because they bring life. Your tone matters when you talk. Now, maybe you're thinking, Josh, that's great that you had that. But I haven't had anybody tell me that they believe in me. In fact, I've just had nothing but slander, betrayal, malice, rage, and anger, and people don't breathe life into me with their words. See, Paul tells us what to do. Look at the end of verse 32. We are to forgive each other. Who falls into that category? Everyone. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. The degree that you believe you have been forgiven, the degree that you are forgiven, is the degree that we forgive. Now, here's the thing about the forgiveness that God gave to us. In Romans 5, we're told that before we were sinners, Christ died for us. So what that means is before we apologized, Jesus said, I know you're broken. I know that you need forgiveness. Before we said, God, I need you in my life. I need you to save me, to rescue me. Before we got to that place, Christ died for us. So before we get to that place, we're like, well, they haven't apologized. They don't deserve it. We forgive because Christ forgave us. But here's what forgiveness looks like. It's important to remember. When it comes to forgiveness, it matters to know that forgiveness does not always mean that you let that other person into your life all the time. There might be a boundary of wisdom that you set up to say, you know what? I'm not going to take the messages that you're bringing to me. It's okay. We're not going to be best friends. Forgiveness is also, it doesn't mean that you pretend it wasn't said. Or just say, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was a big deal. You've carried it this long. It was a very big deal. But don't miss this either. Because the words that God speaks to us are incredibly important. See, when Paul says in Ephesians 4 that we're not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, we're to forgive, we're to be kind and compassionate, it's in the context of how he starts Ephesians. And in the beginning of Ephesians, he has this long sentence that tells us what God thinks about us. And he says, you are loved. He says, before the foundations of the world, God chose you and began pursuing you. And do you know what many of us have spent our entire lives trying to do? Be pursued. Feel loved. He says, you are forgiven. You have been adopted into the family of God, and you are a son, you are a daughter. And you know what we've been trying to do? To be loved, to know we have a father who loves us. And those words are to shape us in how we live our lives. Now, here's how I want us to respond today. The band's gonna lead us in a song. And maybe for you to respond, you just need to listen to these words, because these words are all about how we build our lives on the words of what God has to say about us. And maybe you just need to listen to them. You need to take them in. Maybe you're in a place where you need to ask God to give you the strength and the courage to be able to forgive, to be able to move forward, to be able to let go. Maybe for you, it's standing and singing and saying, God, I want the words that you say about me to be the foundation of my life. So as we respond together, you can sit, you can stand if you feel led to, as the band closes us out this morning.